Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors for this community, and it's a gift to welcome you in this space. I want to invite us actually to just take a breath, to settle into the beauty of this moment, breathing in the very Spirit of God which already stirs in this very place. A writer named Annie Dillard shares this. She says, it's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return. And so this morning, the global Christian community celebrates a day which we call Pentecost. It's a story that is shared in the book of Acts in the second chapter of the wild, disruptive Spirit of God coming as wind and tongues of fire. It's said on that day that some 3,000 people were baptized and the church was born. The very word Pentecost itself comes from a Greek word which means 50. So today we're 50 days into resurrection and into Easter, celebrating the way God's wild spirit, untamed movement comes into our lives, not just once long ago, but each and every day. And to help us with that, our music director, Brendan, has invited a couple of guests to be with us. Those in the sanctuary can see the couple is, it's biblical in the ways that you use those references. Some of us, I want to recognize, grew up in church communities which evoked the Spirit of God in the most powerful ways. And so to allow music to move us feels very natural and true and free for how we are in the world. And others come from traditions where that was discouraged and where we were encouraged to keep our hands in our laps and to stay seated and to move as little as we should. And some of you come from no experience of that at all. And so you don't know why some of us might need to feel permission to just move in this space. And so for that gift, we're grateful. For each of you, wherever you come from, however you arrive, we offer no life preservers this day. We offer no signal flares. And we hope you will not feel lashed to that pew. We invite you to stand in body or spirit as we move on this Pentecost with Corey Henry's Holy Ghost.
Boy, girl, across the land, let me your ear if you can. I'll tell you about something that will make you wanna dance. Yeah. Have you ever had a feeling that you can't explain? Make you lose your pants if you go insane. Wake up the next morning thinking I'll do that again. It's burning in my heart. It's way down in my soul. Can't hold back this feeling. It just won't leave me alone. Yeah, it's burning in my heart. Said it's way down in my soul. The Holy Ghost. You might call it something else. Yeah, I won't argue. I know for myself. I said it's good for my body and it's good for my mental health. I tell you that it's burning in my heart. I said it's way down. Girl in my soul, I can't hold back this feeling. Just won't leave me alone. You're sure with the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Linda. My name is Derek Kirk, and I have the privilege of serving as the lay leader of this community and as a member of the administrative board. Our Sunday morning coordinator, Sarneet, is away in Fiji visiting his family, and in his absence, though clearly never able to fill his shoes, I'm grateful to welcome you this morning to worship, both in person and online. We welcome those gathering online at thetable.live, and I want to note that today's bulletin is available with QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those of you that are joining us online. This is our last Sunday of the school year for Godly Play. We will offer summer children's activities beginning Sunday, June 4th, and while we have an amazing team of Godly Play teachers who watch over our children at both 9:30 and 11 throughout the school year, we hope to have parents and adults sign up beginning today to help with offering both art and outside play for 9:30 a.m. worship throughout the summer. A link is on our website, and we hope that you will sign up. I'm going to go rogue from this just a little bit and note that tomorrow at 10:30, if you are a parents with a four-year-old or younger, I invite you to join us. We're going to have a pop-up picnic in the playground tomorrow. Matt and Linda pulled some numbers for us, and I realized we have like 30 families at this church with four-year-olds or younger, and that was very exciting, right? And so we currently have 12 families signed up to join us tomorrow at 10:30 for just fun conversation, allowing our children to play together and maybe sharing some horror stories. I don't know. I have a 7-month-old, so all of those still are very fresh, right? Sleep is for the weak. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, and if I haven't scared you away yet, we invite you to text the word new to the number on the screen now, and thank you for joining us. Worship this morning is rooted in the ways the Holy Spirit so often disrupts our lives and calls us into change. And this morning, I want to take a few minutes to share about a change that we are finding our way through. I sent the pastors a note last night. Reflect back with me when you were transitioning from elementary school to middle school, and you had one teacher in elementary school, or you parents, you have one teacher, and that one teacher has the ability to say, tonight I'm going to assign you one math homework page and one English homework page and one history homework page, and I am prioritizing your time spending, investing into homework. And then you transition into middle school, and you have 7 different teachers that say, I could care less what the last teacher just assigned you for homework. I'm going to give you these. Sorry if you're a teacher. This is maybe trauma in my own mind. I'm going to assign you as much homework as I possibly can, right? This is your responsibility. We find ourselves a little bit in that situation right now as a community of faith. My word of choice this year is our community is maturing, and I feel as though we have promoted from like 6th grade into 7th grade, from having one teacher to having like 7. And so I'm going to walk you through a couple of those updates just to make you all aware of some things. So the admin board has accepted Chloe's resignation from her position as a cultivator for a sustainable community. We are incredibly and deeply grateful for all that Chloe has done and has given of herself into this ministry to help dream and to put in place our Table Farm and Table Bread, as well as our Fit Fellows program, through COVID and through a baby and all of those things that Chloe has experienced in her life. Her last day with our community in this role will be May 31st. We have already started thinking through how to sustain and grow these ministries into the future and are having exciting discussions and discernment with a number of folks. We are thrilled to share that a member of our community, Kara Tupi, will be stepping in to work with Andy to continue our Table Farm operations and in particular our summer fellowship and internship program for high school students. That's very exciting for us to be able to have Kara. So Kara, thank you for stepping in that space. With this transition, we will need to pause our table bread baking and subscriptions for the time being as we work to diligently identify Spirit-led ways forward with that ministry. We will share more information as we can, and I just want you to know that the admin board is really leaning in, as are our pastors, into some really exciting conversations. Over the past year, we transitioned out of a pandemic and into our new normal, both in the world and at the table, to include a more fully realized hybrid online in-person worship. We have also asked you to discern with us and walk through some uncertainty and fear around a number of situations that arose, including the table's relationship with the United Methodist Church and the challenges facing our denomination. Maybe this is English class and we've been through math and history already. We've experienced with her Linda's diagnosis and ongoing chemo treatments. We'll call that science. The future home of the Table Farm as we move this fall to relocate. That's maybe physical education, I'm thinking. A potential future ministry partnership with the Davis UMC or elsewhere in Yolo County. And now what the next evolution of Table Farm and Table Bread might look like as Chloe moves on. The administrative board has put a particular focus this year on providing greater support to Matt and Linda as we move through these transitions and wonderings, and we offer the same to our table community. We've worked hard to keep you updated on all these efforts, and we'll continue to do so through Sunday worship, the weekly emails, videos, and small group sessions. To that end, we're going to have an admin board at the Next Steps table throughout the summer, before and after worship. And we would love to speak with you one-on-one, answer your questions, and help you learn more about how to find your place at the table. Whether it's growing in faith or joining a kitchen table, helping with hospitality, helping with our summer children's activities, Table Farm or Table Bread, or another passion or gift you might be ready to share with us. I will be out after the service, and I'm happy to meet you and have the chance to chat with you. You can also find all of the admin board's email addresses on our website, thetableumc.org, if you prefer to reach out via email. So, in the spirit of ending on good news, we have one final piece that we want to share with you. We learned earlier this week that Brendan Lowe and our music team have been given a $10,000 grant from the Los Rios District Union. The district union is overseen by our United Methodist District Superintendent. Shinya Goto and Linda and my wife have served for the last couple of years. This money will be used to fund a writing retreat focused on arranging historic hymns for today and then turning the arrangements into a new album to be shared in the future. We're very excited, yes? We are very excited about this opportunity to share our amazing table music team's gifts with a much wider community. And as we celebrate these incredible musicians and move with them into worship, I invite you to stand in body or spirit as our music team shares an original piece of music from Solabel called How to Survive in the Woods.
Make a lot of noise, or lay absolutely still. Make yourself look as big as you can, or else it will. It's coming around the corner, it's coming up the hill. It's coming up behind you, baby, and it's coming to kill. Pay close attention to the posted signs. Keep your eyes open if you want to get out alive. I'm not trying to worry you, darling. I just want you to survive. Yeah. It's about your survival. That's the gift that we give. We don't want no revival. We just want you to live right now. It's about your survival, y'all. That's the gift that we give. Don't wanna have to revive you. We just want you to live right now. Thank you. path, y'all. But you can talk to strangers. Look for signs of protection from all those fairy tale dangers. You were broken and beaten, ridiculed and misnamed, mistook and mistreated, but now you got a new name. We're coming through this together, so there's no need to be scared. Oh, I believe in you, baby, and I want to prepare. Prepare, yeah. Well, it's about your survival. That's the gift that we give. We don't want no revival, y'all. We just want you to live right now. It's about your survival. That's the gift that we're giving. Don't wanna have to revive, you know. We just want you to live right now. Right now. Cutting up through the canebrake, you made it out of the fire. You survived so much more than this, and you keep on if you try. It's a plank of a living, that's what the fight's all about. But with this gift that we're given, what a way to go out. Hey, I'm not talking about this earthly living. No, I'm talking about better days. Just ain't no other way. Oh, it's about the survival. That's the gift that we give. Don't wanna have to provide ya. We just want you to live right now, right now. It's about the survival. That's the gift that we give. Yeah, don't wanna have to provide ya. Make it if you try.
Oh, it's about your survival.
Yeah. Just want you to survive the day.
Don't want your revival.
We just got to find a way. Hold on together now.
It's about your survival.
Yeah. Hold on together now. Yeah. Hold on.
We don't want your revival.
Invite us to be seated, and we're going to move into sharing scripture this morning with video. And so I especially want to note to our friends who might not yet be readers that if we have others around, we may be able to help our young friends, and our scripture will be shared with us on the screen and for those online, and our folks can help our young not yet readers with us.
We'll be right back. We need a little walking music for our young friends to head upstairs. Yes, Daddy. See some walking feet music. Heading upstairs to godly play and or to the A-frame for nursery care for our youngest. But godly play is for our elementary aged young friends who learn the stories of the faith with a storyteller and a doorkeeper. And they have a feast. And they have a wonderful space that is just for them. We call it a sanctuary. It gives us time to catch our breath a little bit. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now, Tim. Yeah.
Very good.
Well, if a church is actually alive, here's the news flash. It is always a church in transition. Right. And while change can often be really unsettling, it is also an opportunity for new energy and new wonderings and new directions. So, as Derek said, we are in transition here at the table yet again. And I'm grateful to the way he framed it for all of us so well this morning. We are saying goodbye this week to Chloe, who has chosen to move on and making some shifts so that we can relocate Table Farm. And we hope to find a baker who has a heart for sourdough soon. We have a meeting this week, so pray. And just so you know, it feels a little bit wild right now. Wild. And this morning really is a snapshot of this extraordinary community of faith. It occurred to me multiple times this week that actually also from another angle, let's say a biblical angle, it's also a snapshot of God's presence and activity in the world. It's like an Instagram post capturing the Holy Spirit, the active, powerful, sometimes wild energy of God. And we say this a lot around here, and so I'm going to say it again with emphasis. We are all in this together. Not exactly the same as followers of Jesus gathered in a room at Pentecost long ago, but I dare say gathered in rooms, right, here and online, not fully unlike them either. Pastor Matt touched on this last week. The last thing Jesus told his disciples to do before he ascended into heaven was to go back to Jerusalem and wait there for God's promise to come true. The First Nations translation of Acts sets it the scene like this. The tribes of wrestles with Creator, who is Israel, celebrated another great feast called the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, meaning 50, because it was celebrated 7 weeks after the Passover festival on the 50th day. This was a harvest festival when the people would bring the first fruits of the harvest to Creator's lodge in the sacred village of peace, which is Jerusalem, and give thanks for Creator's provision. Creator was about to send the Holy Spirit, promised by Creator sits free, Jesus, to begin the time of the great harvest and gather people from all nations who would represent the great Spirit. The followers of Creator Sets Free, Jesus, numbering about 120, were waiting and praying in the upstairs room where they found lodging. I think for the most part, they prayed while they waited there. And I expect at least some of them were like asking the Great Spirit to tell them a little bit more about what they were waiting for. Like, how would they know when the power had fallen on them? How would they stay alive in the woods? How did the Holy Spirit actually, particularly with details, please, go about baptizing people exactly? Jesus said something about fire. That sounds dangerous. Did he mean real fire or spiritual fire? Should they fill some jars with water, though, just in case things get out of hand? They didn't have to wait long for the answer to their prayer. First Nations version translates it like this: the time for the full meaning of the ancient festival had now arrived. The Holy Spirit had come down upon them and began to fill them with the Great Spirit's life and power. They got a crash course in that power. And I would say it like Omari and the team wrote it: it's about our survival. That's the gift that God gives. It's not about a revival. God wants us to live. First there was wind, then there was fire, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowed with strange languages. One spoke Parthian while another spoke Latin. Two others found their tongues curling around the exotic sounds of Egyptian and Arabic. They may not have known what they were saying, but the crowd they drew did. There's one theologian who imagined it like this: devout Jews from all over the world standing in doorways, leaning in windows, listening to a bunch of Galileans tell about the power of God in their own tongues, so that nobody was left out. The Holy Spirit turned out to be a phenomenal linguist whom everybody present could understand. And still, it baffled them all, the speakers as well as the listeners. They were in the grips of something that bypassed reason, and some of them could not bear it, so they started hunting for a reason, something that made sense, something that could explain it. They're filled with new wine, someone said. Drunk. That means drunk in the Bible. And Peter said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, meaning if it had been later, maybe. All of that describing the high holy day of Pentecost. Pentecost is sometimes nostalgically referred to as the birthday of the church, but actually the story begins centuries before with another Holy Spirit visit. And the story itself is known as an attempt in Scripture to explain why we are a diverse and varied creation. And I don't have time this morning for that full scope, but maybe some of you are familiar, or you can look it up later, of the story of the Tower of Babel. And it's found in Genesis 11. And there in Genesis 11, you read about the human community created by God to live in harmony with God and with one another, gathered together. And they decide to build a city. And then they decide to build a tower that extended into the heavens, really tall. They were seeking security by building their city with really high walls around that tower, and their one and only culture, surrounded, which they assumed was God's favorite culture, and their language, which they assumed was the language God spoke. You know what they say when we assume? I would say their quest was one of homogeneity, which they believed was God's intended way. Sounds cozy, comfortable, secure even, like life in one big gated community. The surprise, though, was that God wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing. God is not interested in racial and cultural homogeneity, security behind city walls with sculptured gardens, safe from the other. No, it's opposite day for God. So of all things, back then, the Holy Spirit came down and caused people to speak different languages then too, and then scattered them all over the face of the earth in different climates, in different environs. Turns out God likes and loves diversity, not just for those of us who are unrooted two- and four-legged creatures, but also the rooted plants and rocks and dirt and trees and stuff. All means all. God has in mind a creation embracing and celebrating difference and contrast, while also being like a complete and beautiful ecosystem of interdependence. In this way, maybe Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2, could be seen as chapter 2. The same God who blocked homogeneity enables diversity. Now that is wild. So wild, actually, that I felt quite blown about this week. Seriously, just trying to take it all in. Because if that was chapter 2 back there in Pentecost, then what are we supposed to call this week? This kind of movement. It's the stuff of God which just frankly so often can undo much of the constructs of my existence. So maybe you can feel some of that. How do I survive in the woods? So this week I was really grateful to discover the story of a woman. I found her on, you know, it wasn't Netflix, it was Prime. I can't keep them all straight. And I was thumbing through and it caught my eye. And it's a woman who had her life turned around too. And it was very unexpected for her too. And maybe some of you have heard of her. I had never heard of her. Her name's Mary Reynolds. She's Irish. And way back in 2002, she was the youngest person to win the gold medal at the Chelsea Flower Show. And you can go down rabbit holes. It's amazing. Look up Chelsea Flower Show. It's in England. And she was the subject of a film. That's what I discovered in 2016. And the film is called Dare to Be Wild. Her entry at the Chelsea Flower Show was called Celtic Sanctuary. And within her entry were 500 wild plants. That was unheard of. 200-year-old hawthorns, tons of ancient stone wall from Cork, as well as a fairy mound. There were common weeds. She literally put wild rabbit droppings in her garden. It is considered one of the most unconventional entries. That's how people in England speak. Unconventional. In the Chelsea Flower Show ever. It had an imposing moongate stone archway, which led to an Irish pasture and wildflowers and a circular pool, isn't it? Oh. And then surrounded the in that center are four stone druid thrones. And then there's a fire that burns right there in the center. Yeah. So Mary Reynolds went on to design after this award-winning gardens really all over the world and landscapes around the globe. And I watched the film, as I said, and I researched her. And boy, did I get surprised, because she didn't stay doing that. For years, she made her living as a landscaper. But since then, she has made huge shifts. And she's now a nature activist. And she calls herself a reformed landscape designer. Because in her words, everything must change, including me. And today, Mary is the founder of an international garden rewilding movement. We are the ARC. ARC stands for Acts of Restorative Kindness. And her work invites people all over the world to transform our farms and our yards and our gardens into part of a living and deeply interconnected ecosystem, and she names them ARCs. And if you start with your own front yard, you put your handmade sign out there so your neighbors don't get upset when the weeds start growing. That's part of her strategy. But really, I want you to hear her beautiful voice in this just very short clip, so you can hear her in her own words in a place where she was being interviewed.
I'm kind of saying, look, if you can just take half of any land you have under your care and restore a native plant ecosystem, allow the land to become...
What does that mean, restore a native...
ecosystem? Well, yeah. Gardens are filled with pretty plants, with kind of... They're kind of creative constructs, yeah. And we have decided that we're entitled to... treat them as outdoor rooms, our patches of this planet. And we're not sharing the land with any of the other creatures that we share this earth with. And so I had a moment one day where I realised, oh, something was wrong with what I was doing. So I had this idea, and I'm saying, please, if you can just give half of any land you have... and allow the weeds to come out, allow the native trees and shrubs to come out, allow messiness in, because there's no life in a tidy space, you know? And I'm saying, if you just put up a sign saying this is an ark, it'll get rid of your neighbours giving out to you. And it's a very simple idea, and it's taken off, and it's gone all the way around the world.
Turn our land back to the wild. Let our lawns be overtaken by weeds and critters. Seriously, there is nothing manicured about that. It's wild. And in her way, Mary Reynolds is saying, this is not about revival, friends. It's about our survival. And of course, as I was holding all that, I couldn't help but think about our transitions here. Our relationship, as Derek lined out, with the United Methodist Church and the challenges facing our denomination as a whole. My breast cancer diagnosis and almost finished Tuesday is the last chemo. Can I get an amen? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's been 5.5 months. There's the future home of Table Farm. There's a potential future ministry partnership with Davis UMC or somewhere in Yolo County. And now the next evolution of Table Farm and Table Bread. And what that might look like as Chloe moves on. And I know we might, some of us, be feeling like looking back towards times that felt a little less charged. I get that. But on Pentecost long ago, the people gathered a wild array of geography and language, a global and diverse expression of Judaism that Eric has created this expression to let us in and discover and rediscover our diversity and our commonality. And in this event of discovery, everyone got called together, called out of their disbursement. Scholars call that diaspora, right? Into a new belonging. And the followers of Jesus received their next steps. They understood. They were understood. It's not nostalgia anymore. They're not called ever to really look back. Christ is calling them and all of us to look forward out into the world. Peter Gomes, the great theologian, observed this about Pentecost. He said, Pentecost did not reduce or diminish the diversity of the crowd. They did not become less than they were. They became more than they had been because they became one with all who heard and understood that God is alive and active in this world. So in this transition, is it possible that we're still riding that same kind of wave? Walter Brueggemann, the theologian, wrote that Pentecost is not just a remembered event, but an ongoing process by which the Spirit of God regularly rattles our cages. I added that. Bewilders and turns the world upside down. If we understand that there are multiple Pentecosts, see, in our story, multiple times when God breaks in through the Holy Spirit and sets the church on a new course of travel or a new discovery of what God is making possible because of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, then this transition, like those that came before, is the Holy Spirit's. And the Holy Spirit has us. And the Holy Spirit is moving. Is moving. So I want to close with a weather report for Pentecost Sunday from our friend Steve Garness Holmes. Literally, his poem is titled Weather Report for Pentecost Sunday. Bold letters, wind, colon. Blowing continually, divine breath of which you are a word, mighty storm that displaces every separate thing until in their radiant individuality they are all one. Fire, bold letters, colon. Original light, consuming all creation, offering it up as a holy sacrifice, flames raging across all boundaries, expect to be forced to flee from safe and familiar places, only to find that it is a return. Bold letters, floods, colon. Baptismal waters, you see that represented in the blue there. Baptismal waters inundating everything until all is submerged in God. Flood tides of love, even at higher elevations. Out of believers' hearts will flow rivers of living water. We're coming through this together, friends, because there isn't any other way. And something divine is going on. So together, may we behold this new miracle. It's about our survival, and that is a gift that God gives. Amen.
I want to take a moment to translate A9B7. It means a parent might be needed over in the nursery to help with a kiddo. So if you have a little tag that says A9B7, you're on. And if you don't, just breathe. We'll all be okay. There's a way in which the table, kind of like a garden, can be viewed and seen and tended in so many different ways. Plenty of us come from traditions or ways in which the table is seen kind of like those pristine gardens around Mary Reynolds in the Chelsea Garden Show. We have to put everything in its perfect place. And yet, Creator Sets Free called everyone to a table that was way more wild than we could imagine. Not a table that I believe had every place set perfectly, but a table that in its chaotic messiness said, welcome, just as you are. There's nothing you need to do to get ready to find a place at this table. God just says, welcome. The Spirit turns our expectations upside down, wild and untamed, calling us to a way of life rooted in a table which is always extended to neighbors around us. And so we recognize that we too, like so many that have gone before us, fail to be open in our hearts or in our minds or even in our bodies and souls to the wild, untamed Spirit of God because it gets uncomfortable. And so we pause to recognize with followers of Jesus through the generations in a prayer that the church calls a prayer of confession. And this is to help us prepare to come as one people to God's table. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we'll join our voices together in this prayer of confession. God, who is alive and active in this world, we resist change and try to tame your spirit. Forgive us, we pray. May your wild, disruptive power change us all. May your wild, disruptive power connect us all.
May your wild, disruptive power break into our lives and embolden us to newly discover what you are now making possible. Amen, amen, amen.
Friends, the lasting miracle of Pentecost is the wild, disruptive power and Spirit of God making connections despite all our separations. The Holy Spirit lives within us and among us today. God's Spirit will never leave our side. God's love will hold us through every time of change, rattling, yeah, bewildering, yeah, and turning the world upside down until all of creation is submerged in God's wild and untamed love. Let's say amen.
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 And I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the Spirit of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son, the body.
Us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared with his companions. The church has received this prayer and through the ages has shifted it and changed it but named it the Lord's Prayer, and this is a version that comes to us as a paraphrase from the New Zealand prayer book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us.
For you reign in the glory of the power that is love,
now and forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts. Make this for us your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage our friends who are viewing online to gather close to them, their bread and their juice, possibly even light a candle in your space or in whatever form you are gathering. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we encourage you to take time shortly to come forward for this meal or go to the rear of the sanctuary. You are surrounded by places to pray, by lighting of candles. There are ones you can kneel in front of. There are ones you can stand in front of. You're also welcome to stay right where you are in your pew and just breathe, right? Every week there are people among us who this is something new that they have never experienced before. Every week among us, there are people for whom this is a life practice, and most of us are somewhere in between there. We are grateful and we are moved by the courage it takes so often to just cross the threshold in a sanctuary. And so we want everyone to know you can't mess this up. You can't make a mistake. We call this God's divine dance here in this sanctuary, and we watch over one another in love, all right? On the plate is a smaller thing, chemo brain. Has crackers with no gluten. That's what I'm trying to say. And there is always juice in the cup, okay? And so we invite you, all of us, to commune with God and one another.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you and for the world, and the cup of healing and God's forgiveness poured out for all of creation. Thank you. encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire in that spirit of prayer. And God, we ask your holy mystery to envelop our lives in the depths of your love. Bind us together in your peace and call us into the world that we might live as expressions of your spirit this day and all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. We want to encourage you to wonder about the next steps which God might be inviting you to take outside at a Next Steps table. Derek is there, and also Nancy, if you have questions or just want to learn more about our community of faith, you're welcome to join them. For those that are here in the sanctuary, we encourage you to give generously from your own resources in response to God's love. We can do that online or here in the sanctuary as well. We have a picnic tomorrow morning for families with young kiddos just outside in the back here of the sanctuary. We have a potluck out at Table Farm on June 3rd at 10:30 in the morning. There are so many ways to connect and take next steps in our community. We invite you to do that online on our website. We're going to go out this morning in song. This is a new song for our community, but a song deep in the tradition for many of us. This is a song called Holy Ghost Power. It invites us to look back and to remember the story of God's power that is alive in this very moment. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we go out in song. May the Spirit of God hold your body that you might move from here, crossing boundaries in unexpected ways, connecting with those that you may see as other, and living in ways that express the abiding love of God. Go in peace. Amen.